And we are in the midst of a great celebration.
Oh, yes.
Amen. And it is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Amen. We are thankful to the Lord for everything that he does. The Lord always blows me away with all the good things that he continues to do. Amen. We're going to go right ahead without any further delay and offer the word of God. Amen. After we have a word of prayer, the Lord had put something on my mind. I wanted to start us into a new area of study. And I was convicted to go ahead and teach a different thing. Amen. And as I say, we'll start in that pretty soon. We have, just for your information, started on the book of 1 Thessalonians. We were endeavoring to get started on that on Wednesday in our Bible study. If you happen to be able to attend, you will find that study will be a blessing for you. Amen. And so many things going on in the world right now that we have to talk about so many different things just to give some balance to what's going on in the world. And it is kind of a volatile time in human history.
Oh, yes it is.
Because we can see some of the things that we think will be ushering in end times. And we know that we've been in the latter days and the last days for some time, but Jesus gave signs. His disciples asked him, what are some of the signs of your coming? And he said that there will be great deception in the last days. We can see that. He said it would be as it was in the days of Noah. And that is a time in the scripture that the Bible says that every thought of the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And that it grieved God in his heart that he had made man up on the earth.
Yes.
Amen. And at that time, of course, we know that God proceeded to destroy the world with a great flood. And he promised after that time that it would never be destroyed in that manner again.
Never again.
But the next time, Peter says that this present world is reserved for destruction by fire. Amen. And that sounds scary. The good news is that God has not done that at this point. Not yet. And that means there is still time.
Oh, amen. Yes, it is.
And every time God does not send judgment, we know that there is yet time to receive mercy.
Yes, it is.
Amen. And so we just do what he gave us to do. The church has been given an assignment. It began back in Matthew 28 and verse 19, well actually 18, Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth.
Yes.
Go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the assignment of the church. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So he said, I'll be with you all the days. And so he's still with the church right now.
Yes, he is.
The church's assignment has not changed, although sometimes you might have trouble recognizing that when you go in a church. Are they still proclaiming the gospel?
Amen.
That God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Is that the centrality of their message?
All right.
Or are we on some other topic somewhere, you know, about how you can be fat, happy, and blessed, and have a chateau on the lake, and all these type of things, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If you happen to get those things and God blesses you with them, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
But the central message of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is.
And that's why Paul, even at that time, there was conflict in that area, because Paul said to the Romans in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believes. He says, from to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Amen. But he had to write that he was not ashamed of the gospel, because it was the power of God. And so we are not ashamed of the gospel either here at St. Timothy. And we pray that no matter what else we see going on in the church, that we will hold up the bloodstained banner, amen, and continue to proclaim the good news. All right, it's awesome that we have good news. We don't have any bad news. And people think who are outside the church that the church has got bad news and that they're in there to criticize me and all that. And we're not here to criticize. All of us needed grace.
Amen.
No one is here because they deserve to be here. Not a soul, not from the wall to wall. And from side to side, everybody here is here by God's grace.
Amen.
And so I want to talk about that a little today. We have a special message that I want to call Friends of the Father. And I've chosen this because God chose Abraham to be his friend and made promises to save the world through his seed. All the way back in Genesis, and he continued to bless them throughout the generations, but they took it for granted and began to rebel against him, causing God to judge them and to appoint the Gentiles to continue the message of his desire to have friendship with mankind and to provoke Israel to jealousy as he continued to fulfill his promises to Abraham. And so that's what we're talking about in a nutshell. God promised Abraham, I'll bless the world through your seed. And he went on to do that. Abraham, as most of you know, had no offspring at the time God made that promise. That was over in Genesis 12. Abraham was a Gentile. In other words, he was not a Jew. No Jews existed at all at that time.
Amen.
The Bible says everyone was in the category of a Gentile at that time. Amen. And so a Gentile was called out of his land, which was where we would say is modern day Iraq or Iran over there where all the trouble is now. He told him, come out of your country, Ur of the Chaldees, and get away from your father's house. Come out of there. Away from your kindred, anybody you know. And come into a land that I'll show you. And I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless him who blesses you and curse him who curses you. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That was God's promise to Abraham. And the Bible says Abraham was called a friend of God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And so we're going to just take a minute and talk about the friends of the Father. And that's who you and I would be by definition if we were to define who is the church. Jesus said, and we're going to take a look in John chapter 15, he said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. See, that being a friend of Jesus has to do with what you do. Do you do what he commands you to do? Don't say, oh, I'm your friend, but I don't do anything you say. That's not going to work. In that case, he says, you're my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. And henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You see that? Jesus said, we didn't choose him. Somehow in our minds, we think we chose the Lord. I hear people say all the time, oh, I found the Lord. Well, the Lord hasn't been lost. I was the one that was lost.
Right.
He found me, you see, and brought me in. But he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. He says, if the world hates you, this is the part people don't like to talk about, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. See that? So our trust with Christ is to keep his word, to share his word, to take the flack when we speak the word.
All right.
We're not able, or we shouldn't even think that we want to. And I often wonder about people who say, we're going to edit God. We're not going to talk about the sin and the hatred and the persecution and all that. And I wonder, how did you get the authority to edit God?
All right.
And God said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you.
Amen.
But you don't want to say that. Oh, that'll run people out of the church. If I tell them that. But you know what? Think about what happened in South Carolina. Somebody came out of a bag of hatred and displayed great persecution against totally innocent people. Hadn't hurt them at all. Why? Because they stood for Christ. Their door was open in his name. The thing that really got me about that was that the guy who did it had to say, oh, those people were so nice, I almost couldn't do it. That lets you see they were treating him with Christ's love. And they invited him in with open arms. And then he came in and he listened to the devil and went on and did his evil work. And I have to say, those people are victorious. I hear a lot of talk about they were martyrs and how awful. And it was a terrible thing, and I don't reduce that in any way. But I want to say they lived a victorious life in Christ. And the second they left out of their flesh, boom, absent from the body, present with the Lord, because they were saved. These people represent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The church needs to hear that. We need to know that. The Lord has covered you. If you are successful in your service to Christ, you know what? That's the way you need to be, up to your very last second. And be in service to Christ.
Yeah.
They were there minding God's business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They were doing what God told them to do. Yeah. Being there to teach and train and make disciples and spread the word of God. And then an evil persecutor came in and Jesus said, they're going to hate you just like they did me.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't really be shocked, although that's awful. We hope it never happens again.
Yeah.
You know, but it's very possible that these things will escalate in the latter days.
Yeah.
It'll probably depend on how much you were actually represent Christ and do what he says, how persecuted you will be.
All right.
So I need to prepare the church, because this is what Jesus taught. I didn't make it up. He says, if the world hates you, verse 18, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And they don't really hate you. They only hate you because they hate him and you talk about him.
Uh-huh.
And you represent him. See, we stand in the place of Christ. That's why we are called Christians.
Yes.
Because we represent Christ.
Amen.
We tell people that Christ came into the world to love you and do something for you you could not do for yourself. He came to represent you before God the Father.
Yes.
To pay the debt for all your sin, to neutralize your account. Your sin debt was paid entirely by Christ and him alone.
Amen.
And he loves you. That's why he did it.
Yes, he does.
And we were talking about this in Sunday school, and I'm going to get to my point here in a minute here. Y'all just bear with me a little bit as we do a little exposition. I want you to see that God loves the sinner. And at the cross, we see both. We see a collision of the most tragic thing that ever happened in the history of time and the most beautiful thing. We see sin at its very worst when we see the cross. God himself in human flesh coming in the world veiled in a human body.
Yes.
Found guilty and told that you must receive the death penalty.
Wow.
Who was perfectly innocent.
Yes, he was.
Now, you know what? I couldn't say I'm perfectly innocent about stuff. I wish I could tell you, I'm perfectly innocent and all is well. No. Can't do that. But here it was, God the Son, who was conceived in holiness, conceived in perfect righteousness, came into the world doing good.
Amen.
You know, they were going to stone Jesus another time because he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. We looked at it in John chapter 5, verse 18 to 23. And he said, well, for what good work are you stoning me?
Yes.
You know, what did I do? The reason why you stoned me? What bad thing is it that I did? Nobody could say anything. He says, none of you who convicted me of sin. He was able to say it. Nobody could say anything that he did was wrong.
Nobody.
Because everything he did, as it says in the book of Acts, he went about doing good.
Amen.
Everything he did was good.
Uh-huh. Amen. Uh-huh.
And so they found fault with him for doing good.
Uh-huh.
He came and did stuff, reverse sickness and disease, to show people that I am God. I have authority and power over sickness and disease. He came in and reversed death, made death give up of Lazarus after 4 days out of the grave. See, to give him back, come on back, Lazarus. And Lazarus came forth wrapped in grave clothes. And he told him, loose him and let him go.
Amen.
He was showing, I have authority over everything. I am the resurrection and the life, he said.
Yes.
There. You know, he who believes in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? And Mary said, hey, Lord, I believe that. But she didn't really quite get it until he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up and came out of the grave. It's a good thing he called him by name, the Bible says, because there's coming a day when Jesus will speak and all who are in the grave will come forth. So he has all power even over death, hell, and the grave. And so he did these things to illustrate that he was God in the flesh. You and I should be happy about that. You know, every time I get a little older, we went on vacation, I picked up a case of water and my back went out. I said, boy, that's terrible. He didn't carry that water. I used to grab two of them and run up the steps. But, you know, I grabbed one this time and like, oh my goodness, you know. And it kind of shortened up our vacation a little bit, what I wasn't expecting. But I just say that to say, as you get a little older, you get a little bit more feeble. Some of y'all young folks don't know what I'm talking about yet. Just keep on living. You'll find out. You see, you get a little weaker. I used to grab two sacks of concrete and throw them on my shoulder and be all right, 80 pounds apiece. Won't be doing that anymore. That was rough. But in either case, I just said that to say, as we get older and we start to see ourselves weakening little by little as day goes by, I look forward to being with Christ.
Amen.
He promised to make all things new, to restore everything back to the former glory. It'll be better than it was when he put Adam in the garden. Because it won't be possible this time for any sin to take place. It won't be corrupted anymore. It'll be perfect forever and ever after he redoes everything. He says, behold, I make all things new. And the former things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. I look forward to that. Let's look back, though. I want you to see something as we look at the promise God made to Abraham. And he called him a friend. He multiplied him through three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He multiplied Jacob into the 12 tribes known as the sons of Israel. And you know what? He did that so he could isolate a people for his own possession. These were the chosen people, the covenant people of God. He selected them and blessed them hand over fist. They were in the midst of all the Gentiles, and God, the other Gentiles were seeing how God was blessing them. And they went up and fabricated all kinds of false worship in order to try to be like Israel. And they didn't understand that they were supposed to believe what Israel was doing and that it was God who was doing those things in them. Some of them did. We see glimpses of it as we look through the Old Testament. We see people like Rahab. She was a harlot. She knew her life was not right. She lived a whacked life, we would say. And she was doing whatever she wanted to have, whatever she had to do to make her ends meet. And she lived on the wall of Jericho, but she heard about the God of Israel. And she believed in him. She trusted him. And when the spies came, she said, oh, I know who you guys are. You know, you worship that the real God. Your God is God. And she started to proclaim that he was the true God.
Amen.
I'll cover you and protect you when they come to get you, because she already knew they were going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
And so she covered them and protected them in exchange for salvation, because she was looking to worship the true God.
Amen.
So it didn't make any difference. We see a person with an immoral lifestyle right there, who trusted the true God and was saved by faith.
Uh-huh.
It was not by her works that she was saved.
Right.
She believed in the true God, and her soul was saved by her faith in the risen Christ, but in the true God of Israel.
Yes.
And God had promised all the way from the beginning, from the moment sin came into the world, he began to promise the Messiah. Did you know that?
Yes.
That you can go all the way back to Genesis 3, right after the fall, when man fell into sin, and God began to promise the coming of Messiah right away. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he speaks to the serpent. He said, upon your belly shalt you go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
Yeah.
And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise you on the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's Genesis 3:15. He's talking about the virgin birth of his son, who will crush the serpent, who is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. He will crush the serpent when he and bring an end to sin and give people healing and mercy.
Yeah.
All the
the way from the very beginning. Serpent didn't even get it. The sages of old didn't get it. People read that for years. What is he talking about here? And eventually it came to pass that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, Paul says, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, who was made of a woman. And that prophecy is there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that I'm going to bring an end to sin through my son, the virgin-born son, Jesus Christ. And so what I want you to see about the people of God is that, and something I want to give us as a warning today, we have to be careful, because even though we are friends of the Father, you don't want to take that and in the wrong way.
All right.
You want to make sure you understand that God is holy.
Amen.
He is righteous. If you want to walk with him, you need to practice and put your mind set on holiness.
Yes.
You don't want to just practice sin just because he will forgive you.
Right.
You see, you want to be walking in righteousness. Yes. If you walk it with God, God doesn't do anything unrighteous.
Yes.
You want to walk by faith and find yourself moving toward Christ's likeness.
Yes.
That is the thing we have to do. Now, you know, just because God offers unlimited mercy and unlimited grace, I think people sometimes, because of our fallen condition, tend to think that that's okay. I'll just ask him to forgive me again. That's the wrong mindset.
Yes, it is.
Jesus said that you are my friends if you do what I command you.
Amen.
See, he's not commanding us to do anything wrong or anything unrighteous or anything impure. So we have to be careful, and I mean all of us. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm talking about me.
Right.
You know, we have to get our mindset focused on, I want to be holy.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to move away from stuff that's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to stop that stuff in my life that's not right.
Yeah.
And you know what it is. The Holy Spirit is in you if you're saved.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit tells you every time something that's good and something that's wrong.
Yeah.
And so, and you know what? And sometimes we turn off the Holy Spirit and go ahead and yield to the flesh.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's just a bad side of being human is that we know God will forgive us. And you know what? He will.
Yes, he will.
But don't abuse that.
That's right.
He says that you're my friend if you do what I command you. Remember that right there in John 15, 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you.
Yes.
Now, God knows you're not going to instantly do everything right.
Yes.
You know, but I think we take advantage of that.
Uh-huh. Say it, say it.
And if you want to be a good friend, God is a good friend. He's your best friend.
He is. Oh, yes.
If you really want to be a good friend to God, practice leaning toward the things of God.
Yeah.
Practice going in that direction more than the direction that takes you away from God.
Uh-huh.
That's why Paul says this, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
Now, see, God, I wish he would just take that away. You know, have you felt like that before?
Oh, yes.
Can we talk this morning? I'm going to do a Joan Rivers on you here. You know, don't you just wish God would take all that lust and desire out of you to do the wrong thing? That he would say, Lord, just pull it out. You know what? He will. He will do it, but it's a gradual process. You know what? He wants you to know you really don't want it anymore. He does. He wants you to know you really do not want it anymore. And when you bring it to the altar, that's why I love the Lord's table, because it's there that we come to be cleansed. And if you come there, he said, don't come up here any old kind of way. When you come, be serious. This is a serious place. Here, you know, when you come before the Lord's table, it's a serious place. This is where you remember that thing I told you, the collision of the worst thing that ever happened in the history of the world, which was the cross. The Son of God coming in the world and being misunderstood and misjudged by some people who he had blessed. Already he'd given them all kinds of blessings. His own people. The Bible says in John 1, he came to his own, and his own received him not. Think about that. You've been here for generations and waiting on Messiah. Here I am. I show up. I'm in the mix.
Yeah.
How do you know it's me? Because I'm healing the sick. I'm giving sight to the blind. I'm raising the dead. I'm doing all kinds of stuff nobody ever did. And you say, oh, he's got a demon. That's how he's doing that. See what I mean? Because you think I'm coming to take your little position from you. Because you think you're something without me. See, they were in the wrong mindset. They should have said, oh my God, this is God, and fell on their face and worshiped him. You see? But instead they said, crucify him. Think about that. Now, it happened to the Jews before, and I want you to know this process started way back. So what I did, I said before you today, Deuteronomy 32. There was a time at the end, and this is the last book in the book of the law. Deuteronomy chapter is the last book. Let's call it the fifth book of Moses. And was at one time the last book of the Bible. It could compare it to Revelation now in the New Testament if we were to look at it in respect to the fact that it was the last book at one time in the history of the scripture. And here in verse chapter 32 is toward the end of the book. He says, but Jeshurun, let's call that a pet name. Like I might call, somebody might call their son by a pet name. Like my son is, one of my sons is named Jonathan. I call him Jono. You know, and we have different names. We give somebody a pet name. So Jeshurun is kind of a pet name for Israel. He said, but Jeshurun waxed fat. In other words, they took everything God had and stacked up with it. And they kicked. That means that they were rebellious. They got blessed by God. They received the blessings and then they rebelled against him. They took the good stuff and kicked away the righteous stuff. We don't want it. We're going to do our thing. Therefore art thou waxing fat. In other words, you built up, you got a big appearance. For thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him. See that? And lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They had a bad attitude about their relationship with God. We'll take your blessings, God, but we don't want your holiness.
Come on.
We'll take your blessings.
Wow. Preacher.
But don't give us, we don't want your holiness. Just, but we'll make our own.
Yeah.
We're going to do our own standard. We're not used to, we don't want to do your standard.
Wow.
See, so we'll take all the good stuff. Keep that coming. Let it roll. Let it roll. Bring it on in. Let us stack it up. But holiness, nah.
Wow.
We're not going to do it that way. So they waxed fat and kicked and delightfully esteemed the rock of their salvation. They were the friends of God.
Wow.
God was a very good friend to them. I'm giving you all the good stuff. But are you a good friend to him?
All right.
Are you doing what he said? And you know, think about this. God has a purpose. The reason why he wants you and me to live that way. The reason is he's got a whole world of people who don't know him.
Amen.
He wants them to see you just like Rahab saw the Israelites. She heard about them from a distance. And she wanted to be like them no matter what it cost me. I put myself on the line because of you. To be like you. That's what she was saying when they came in. I say, see what you all got. Y'all got it going on. And I want to be like you. Even though she was a Gentile prostitute. Her life was filthy. You know what? God wanted Rahab to be saved.
Yes.
No matter what you're doing, he wants you to be saved.
Yes.
No matter how ugly it is, he wants you to be saved.
Yes.
No matter what you're involved in or how long you've been in bondage to it, he wants you to be saved.
Yes.
He wants to set you free from whatever it is binding up your life, keeping you from being like God's people. But you know what? There should be a visible difference between God's people and everybody else.
Yes.
God's a good friend to us. He blesses us hand over fist.
Yes.
Well, are we going to bless him back?
Yes.
They always talk about God bless America. How about America bless God? See, America don't want to bless God, but we want God to bless America. You see? And so we're seeing some terrible stuff in our time. So God chose Abraham to be his friend and by extension the sons of Israel who hadn't even been born yet to show the world his mercy. He wants the world to see his mercy. And therefore he blessed them greatly to show the Gentiles how gracious he is.
Mama.
So that they too would seek him. But through the years after God's love panned out to elevate Israel to great wealth and status, they began to believe that they had earned God's best and that he somehow owed it to them.
Wow.
Which deceive them to disregard his word.
Well,
think about that.
Well,
you know, and sometimes that's it. God bless you so much you think, oh, all this, look what God did for me. I must be all that in a bag of chips. No. You know, bag of chips maybe. But not all that. See, God blessed you to make you an icon to other people so they can say, look what God does to his people.
Yes.
But it's not so you can be a wretch like the other people.
Right.
See, he wants you to be righteous. Jesus said, you're my friend if you do what I command you. So we want to concentrate more on that side. If we don't, we're going to find ourselves kind of in the same mess as Jeshurun, who waxed fat and kicked, bucked up against God. See that? And God, the reason God does it, he wants you to be a light.
Yes,
he does.
He told the Philippians that you appear as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation.
Amen.
We live in a culture that slowly took the word diversity and exchanged it for the word perversity.
Yes.
There is no perversity anymore. Now it's just diversity.
Yeah.
See?
That's right.
What happened to perversity? It went out the door.
Yeah.
Somehow. And you can't say that anymore. Now that's a cuss word.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But now it's all diversity. We're all diverse. Yeah, you diverse, all right. But what happened to perverse?
Yeah.
There's some stuff that's not right. We took that and threw it out, slowly called it diversity and moved it to the center of public life. But God elected to give salvation to the Gentiles after Israel rejected him by way of rejection of his son, Jesus Christ. And the church has now the same amount of time, has had the same amount of time in history to illustrate God's love to all the world in order to draw everyone to Christ. But many of us have too, I should say, have begun to set aside his word, thus nullifying his friendship.
Yes.
That's what happens. When we set his word aside, Jesus said, you are my friend if you do what I command you. That's right?
Amen.
What happens when we don't do what he commands us? We choose not to be his friend.
Yep.
See, he's your friend, but are you his friend? That's
yes,
what I want to ask.
It.
See, so this is what happened to the Jews. Let's look again here in Deuteronomy. I want you to see this so you can understand. Now, and this is way back then in the days of Moses. So the problem is old. It's not a new problem. It's something inherent in human history
yes.
and in man, fallen man. Now, he says here, they sacrificed unto devils, verse 17, and not unto God, to gods whom they knew not. In other words, they went out experimenting with the Gentiles' gods.
Mm-hmm.
To new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. That's verse 17. Verse 18, of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful. You're not thinking about the one who got you out of the mess to start with.
Yes.
And has forgotten the God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them. Now this is God's reaction because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. God wants a godly seed.
Yes,
he wants you to pass righteousness to the next generation.
Amen.
So if you cutting up doing everything but this wrong, what is the next generation going to do?
Come on.
If the righteous don't do the right thing, how are they going to raise a godly seed?
Wow.
And so God is upset when he sees that in a culture. And so many times we let the TV babysit the kids and the video game and whatever else, rather than us taking time to nurture them and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So we got to be careful. Now the world is getting their message in. I think that's why people are so quick to shoot these days.
Yeah.
They've been learning to shoot it, hit it, shoot it. And they've been shooting and shooting all on the PlayStation. And it's in their mind to shoot your way out of everything.
Yes, it is.
See, don't try to reason or anything. Shoot your way out. Just shooting is the way to get out.
Yes.
See, and then you see what we have. We have a mess in our culture. You can't, innocent people just get shot
yes,
for no reason.
Because
people are doing so much shooting. And that's all in the minds of everybody.
Yes, it is.
And so you have to watch that. We want to make sure we bring them up.
Amen.
And don't let the world bring them up. The world's bringing them up and is not helping us today. So they forgot the one who brought them. And then it says here, verse 20, and he said, I will hide my face from them and I will see what their end shall be. You want to do that? Okay. God says, go ahead.
That's
do
right.
your thing.
Mm-hmm.
My back is to you now.
Wow.
You want to do that? Go ahead. You did have my face. You know, we seek God's hand, but do we seek his face?
All right.
We want his hand. Here, give me this. Give me that. We want God's hand. What about his face?
My Lord.
If he turns his back, you don't have his face anymore because you're not calling on me anyway.
Yes.
You don't come to me and spend meaningful fellowship time with me. Get in God's face. We talk about some FaceTime. How about with God?
All right.
Come on.
How about some FaceTime with God? How much of that do we have?
Yes, sir.
And so what happened to Israel, this is why we have to look at this and see that was, and we've seen it in history now.
Mm-hmm.
And notice what happens here. He says, and he says, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a froward generation, children in whom there is no faith.
No faith.
See, that's the absence of faith when we move and try to do things on our own and don't keep God in the midst.
Mm-hmm.
They have moved me to jealousy
yes.
with that which is not God. and they have provoked me to anger with their vanities.
Yes.
And I will move them to jealousy with those who are not a people. That means with the Gentiles. I'll throw them out right into the Gentiles. You want to be like them? Get over there.
Go ahead on.
I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. See that? For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountain. I will heap mischief upon them. You want mischief? Okay, fine. I will spin mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat. And with bitter destruction I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them and the poison of serpents of the dust. Now that serpent of the dust, that's that same one God cast down. Who is that?
Satan
up on your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life.
Amen.
So we don't want that. Y'all read that? I say, yeah, I don't want that. I need God's face.
Yeah.
I need His blessing.
Yes.
So if I'm doing stuff moving me away, I need to turn around. Stop right now and turn around. I want to move closer to God. I don't want to move away.
Amen.
You know, I got to stop all the stuff this that I know is not right. It's not God's will.
Yes.
I need to stop it. I want to pray about it. And I want to, God wants you to do it with the right attitude.
Yes,
you know, sometimes we just stop stuff for the wrong reason.
Right.
I'm going to stop this because I want to stop it. And then we find out we go right back to it.
Right.
You know, and the stuff that, think about this one. I'm just going to say this. This is part of my own personal testimony. If you had something really bad in your life, like I did, at one time I had an awful situation in my life and it was way out of control. And I couldn't control it, but when I knew it was so bad, I can't stand it anymore. It's getting me in trouble. It's starting to make me where I'm going to lose everything.
Yes.
You know, I had a lot on the line, but I'm going to give it over because of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get in some trouble. God knew just how much trouble it took to get me to say, I don't want this. I can't stand this, oh Lord. If you take it away, I'll never do it again. And you know what? When I got like that and I really meant it, He took it away.
Amen.
Haven't been like that again since.
Amen. Glory, hallelujah.
Suppose you got like that about the rest of the junk in your life. God, I don't want this junk in my life. I'm sick of it. I hate it. I can't stand it. Talk to Him about it.
That's it.
You know what He'll do? He'll take it away.
Yes, He will.
And every time you do that, you move closer to His face.
Yes.
Closer to His face. And then eventually you can get face to face.
Amen.
You see? So don't think lightly of the stuff that's still not right.
Yes.
In your life.
Yes.
Take some time, pray on it. You know what it is. I don't even have to tell you. You already know. Everybody's sitting here.
Yes.
If you're thinking like me, you already know. I got a list, a punch list back here. It's got to go. Period. It's got to go because I don't want to be on the wrong side of God.
Amen.
I want the best from God.
Yes.
I want the best blessing you got, boy. And if you bless us like that, we'll be even brighter. We'll shine brighter and other people will be attracted.
That's right.
We want to attract others because God can take you. It doesn't make any difference where you are.
That's right.
You can be in the pit of sin like I used to be.
Yes.
He'll take you right out the pit.
Yes, He will.
And set your feet up on a rock.
Yes, He will.
And He'll start moving you closer to Him.
Yes.
But when you get along the road, don't get like Israel did and forget all about God.
That's right.
And start take the credit yourself.
Yes.
Realize that God loves you and He elected you for salvation.
Yes.
He's the one started the process. He who began a good work in you, Philippians 1:6 says, shall continue it even until the day of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
God elected to give salvation to the Gentiles after Israel rejected Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's been 2,000 years ago. And the church has now had the same amount of time to illustrate God's love to the world. And guess what we're doing now? We're slipping back the other way.
Yes, we are.
We wax fat and we're about to kick. We're kicking now against the pricks.
Yes.
If you will. So we need to watch it. This is kind of somewhat of a warning. But God wants you to be close. So let us be sure to share the message to as many as we can and always be thankful for His mercy. Knowing that there is a coming day when God will recall to begin to deal with Israel.
Yes.
Again, to complete the promises that He made to them and to restore them to fellowship in order to finish fulfilling His promises to Abraham. God still has promises on the table that He made to Abraham.
Yes.
He's going to fulfill those promises.
Yes, He will.
They've been delayed, and God knew that there would be this much time that the rest of the world would have a chance to come to God.
All right.
And you and I are in that time, and now we're starting to see the tail end of it. So I just wanted to share that with you all today, that we are friends of the Father, but we want to make sure we maintain that.
Yes. Amen.
You know, you want to maintain it. You have an end. Friendship is not a one-sided thing.
Yes. You ever have people in your life and they want, but they don't ever have anything to ever return to you?
Yeah.
And they say they're your friend, but really they're not. They're kind of like just using you up.
Yep.
So we don't want to do that to God. We want to be friends to God.
Yeah.
And if you're here today and you've never initiated a relationship with God, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. We have some who are here today to be baptized. If you have not been baptized, and even if you haven't been saved, we want to give you an opportunity to come today.
Yes.
God loves you just like you are, whatever you're struggling with.
Yes,
he wants to help you.
Yes.
And he's given you a whole group of other people who have been in similar circumstances.
Yes.
Right here. That's these people in this room. And we want to help you. We want to be a friend to you. But above all, God wants to be your friend. He's given his son to make it possible for you to be saved. And that's the only way you can be saved. Want to let you know, if you haven't started in that process, do it right away. It'll be the best thing you ever did.
Oh yes.
I can say this with 100% certainty that the very best thing I ever did was give my life to Jesus Christ.
Oh yes. Me too.
The very best thing. Amen. And it's been improving ever since. But I start to see the struggle with the flesh. It's a serious thing.
Yes, it is.
It's a serious thing.
Oh, yes, it is.
And we don't need to take it lightly.
That's right, man.
You know, I just wanted to press the saints over the line back the other way toward the Lord. You know, that's why this message was geared for that. God is our friend, but what kind of a friend are we to him? Amen.
Yes.
Amen. I want to ask, give you that opportunity. Come right now. Don't be ashamed to own the Lord in the presence of people. That's what I said earlier. You know, when I go to be in the presence of God, I want Jesus to say, yeah, I know him.
Yeah.
He's not ashamed of me.
Amen. Oh,
see,
yes.
And I don't want him to say, well, who are you? Where you come from? You know, you don't know me. You were standing down there talking to some people and you act like you didn't know me.
Amen.
That would be awful. That'd be the worst thing. You know, I think in Matthew 7, that's some of the worst words I've ever read in the history of the world. He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Never knew you.
They say, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And they start looking at all what we was doing. You know, it's not about what you're doing. It's about what he did.
Amen.
And if you know me, you're moving toward the things that I see. You know, you're not out here running on your own steam. Now, I would hate for him to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Yes.
That's awful.
Yes, it is.
Worst thing I can think of is that you've done everything in life. And now here you are now at the day of judgment. And he says, I have never knew you. Who are you? Where did you come from? Wow.
Oh, that's devastating.
Yes,
there,
it is.
Really.
Yes.
You know, so we give you that opportunity. Come right now. Don't be ashamed of the Lord.
Yes.
We are here to receive you.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
I'm moving myself in the sight of the Lord.
Follow. Glory, hallelujah.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher, and he will lift you up higher and higher, and he will lift you up higher and higher, and he will
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
And he will lift you up higher and higher, and he will lift you up higher and higher, and he will lift you up higher and higher, and he
God commands, we see that there are none, and yet there is room. Amen. At this time, we're going to go ahead. We thank you for your attention. Hope you got a good word to motivate you. Amen. From God's word.
Yes, we did.
Amen. And we're going to continue our service with the baptism, this baptismal service. Let us have a word of prayer. Lord God, we praise you and we bless you. We thank you today, God, just for being God all by yourself. Father, all of us in the room are thinking about things that need to be adjusted in our lives, God.
Yes.
We know that there are no changes on your end because you are the Lord our God who changes not. And so, Father, we need to change some things on our end.
Yes,
so, Lord, we pray for strength to be able to be victorious over those things. Father, we pray for the passion to move away from stuff that's wrong, God, and move closer to you.
Bible.
And we know that we have to be moving toward holiness to come close to you.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we pray today that you bless us with more holiness, oh God.
Yes.
Bless us with more righteousness, God. Bless
Please,
us with the
Father.
Desire to serve you and to be right in your sight.
Oh, yes.
Bless every home and family that's represented
bless,
here, Father.
Lord.
Bless us all as we continue to move forward toward the baptismal service.
Yes.
We ask now, God, that you bless these who have come today, Lord, to be baptized in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the waters of baptism, that they might be sanctified for the purpose that you have ordained. Oh, God, and we ask that there will be a change in their lives, God, from their obedience to be saved, oh, God. And to be baptized and to submit to your will, oh God. We ask that this first step toward your righteous judgment, God, and toward your righteous salvation would just be implanted in their hearts, God. And that they would come up in a newness of life, oh God, walking in the fear of the Lord. We thank you today, God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Father, we ask this in Jesus' righteous name. Amen.
Amen.
And we will convene to the baptismal area.
But we do want you to wait over here just for a brief second so we can hear
make some preparations. Amen.
Bring you over to the other side.
Amen. Amen.